Most distinguished members of the jury, esteemed members of the court, and honorable presiding judge, Punk Overwatch, welcome to case number 329. Today, we gather in this hallowed courtroom to seek justice, to uncover the truth around one question. Who are the top 10 flex tanks of Overwatch League history? In the next coming chapters of this unfolding narrative, you will witness the presentation of evidence, the examination of procedures, and cross procedures of witnesses and esteemed members of the court, like Battle Crab, Refine Bean, Bronze Bob, Buhal, Walshin, Rex, Zane, Follow, Melon, Sugar High, as well as our YouTube members. I am DRW, Brother Adam L, Ice Gel, Fire Element 6, AKA, and the eloquence of other legal arguments. May our collective pursuit of the truth guide us through this labyrinth of legal intricacies, and may the justice prevail in this most tactical courtroom. Welcome, Judge Punk Overwatch, to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Order in the court. We're
there
here.
You go. I was hoping you were going to play along, but I wasn't sure. I don't have a gavel for you, but, you know, folks
right.
At home, imagine that this is, you know, maybe not SVU, but some kind of law and order. Yeska, how are things? How are we doing today?
Real Gamers would just smash the table. So.
True.
Yeah, no, like, pretty good. I've been on a 3-week long vacation filled with plenty of private, you know, responsibilities, but otherwise pretty good. Looking forward to get back into things on Monday, so yeah.
Gaming. That's what I like to hear. Very, very good. Yes, obviously today, welcome. We're going to be talking about the Flex Tanks. Apologies for the late publish, but scheduling has kept us on our toes, so you're going to have to just kind of deal with it.
I got PTSD from that one, by the way. It reminded me of like when we recorded with Avril, having to coordinate across these time zones constantly.
I mean, three incredibly, literally, you couldn't get farther on the world than these three time zones, but we have found a window of time that works for everybody. So here we are. Punk, how are things? How's life right now? What are we up to? How is it going?
I'm good. I'm on vacation as well. I just got back from Chile 2 weeks with my family and my girlfriend, which was nice. Got some family over there. But, yeah, went to Africa before that for a couple of weeks as well.
Traveling.
And then I'm going to Thailand. So, speaking of three continents, I am going to all three.
What a little jet setter.
That's me.
Where in Africa?
Zimbabwe. Botswana, and then that was it.
Very cool.
Wow.
Awesome.
How long do you fly from Australia to Chile?
Fuck, it was like 12 hours and then 14 on the way back, but...
Oh my god.
I mean, that's... You go anywhere, it's going to take that long. It was It was 10 plus 8 to Africa, and then it was... You know, when I went to Boston every year for a couple of years, 3 years, it was 14 plus 6 across the states. So I'm used to it.
Which one is more use, the US or the Australian passport?
I use my US to get into Chile and the US, obviously, but my Australian I use if I don't. If the American doesn't do anything for me, then I use my Australian. So, but it's nice to have it.
It's a play both sides. Hey, why not? Speaking of traveling to Boston and playing a little bit of both sides, we did have Crimzo on the show not too long ago, and he was kind of giving a brief glimpse into the Titans last year, and would love to get your kind of take on things. Could you kind of briefly, not summarize, but you know, he talked about like how things were a little bit loose with you guys, you know. It was, I think he was quoted as saying, like, it was one of the best experiences in playing. Was that something that you could resonate with? Where do you kind of stand with that?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it was the best year in Overwatch League that I've had. But everything, results, like, outside of the game, it was pretty idealistic the way we had it set up, which is what he probably said. I know that he said, because I watched a bit of his while I was on the beach. In Chile.
Damn.
And he said something like, yeah, he said we were too relaxed and he wished it was more. And it was like, you know, I don't know. There's always going to be some regret, but yeah, for the most part, we were set up really well.
Do you agree?
I don't. We got fucked with the meta. Like we really, like because I think before they changed it, it was just the Sombra Monkey Tracer.
Yeah,
and we were so good at that. Like I was like the most fun I've had playing it in scrims for a long, long time, probably playing Monkey. But yeah, when we just didn't beat Toronto because they were playing the Larry stuff. Eventually Boston figured it out, or London. Boston beat London. So those were the two teams to beat, London and Toronto. And we just went to map 5, I think, in both. And Toronto for 3 map 5s, which we lost all of them. So it's tough, but it was hard to review because we had Hisang and Asgoft is like not, that's not his strength, is actually like, you know, figuring out the game and what everyone should do better. It was more his job was setting us up, which helped so much because like 80% of Overwatch teams get fucked because they are full of dickheads and no one likes each other and no one wants to be there. And it's just like, it's such a unique thing how everyone has the same experience. They just all hate each other. So it was good. I loved it. Yeah.
And I mean, I think expectations from the community set aside, do you view, you know, best last year as a success? Because it sounds like, you know, you both kind of talked about how you guys were set up and it was such like a nice environment. But like, results wise, I mean, an incredible season. I thought you guys did extremely well. I mean, obviously, like, you know, a couple things go a different way and you're making it out of playoffs and you go to Toronto. Like, it's, you guys are pretty damn close. Like, is that a success in your mind?
I mean, it would have been way easier, like you said, if we just went to playoffs. Like, boom, sure, that is a success. That's the goal. Like,
right.
But I remember before the season, I was looking at our team and like, just trying to rank ourselves like on paper before anything had happened. And
oh,
I was like,
interesting.
Shit, like it, you know, yeah. we could punch up, but I didn't expect that we'd do as well as we did. So it is a win, and I know that you won the bet as well.
Ah, my man.
So yeah, I would call it a success. I was happy with how I played. So
I mean, it was. I think that was like, you know, if there was anything to like nitpick, it was, you know, it was a worry of like, okay, like how is Punk going to adapt? And by the end of things, it was like, yeah, no, Punk can play Monkey. Like he can hang. It's not, you know, it's not fearless, but who the fuck is fearless? You know what I mean? Like we're also like comparing some of these people who are moving from flex tanks into main tanks against, you know, some of the best of all time at the hero. Like, of course it's going to not be as pretty, as mechanically gifted, but you know, yeah. I think you, Kalouge, like all of these like transitionary players, like, yes, it wasn't like S tier gameplay and like bubble juggling and just maximizing how much damage you can do. Like it wasn't insane, but like it was competitive. Like it was definitely something that you can rate. And I thought you did, you know, not to brown nose a little bit, but I was impressed.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah. I mean, it was good. I was happy with it. I think I was confident, like I was really confident in my Winston by the end, like, and kind of like I was saying before, the Monkey Tracer Sombra stuff.
Yeah,
like, we were probably one of the best teams of that. We're at like just before it died, or I think there was a break before the break and before the patch they changed it. Like I think it was Atlanta and Houston were like kind of Atlanta were. Pretty much never get a map off them. Eventually we did. We got a few and that was a big win. And then Houston, for some reason, we always beat Houston, like all the time. And that was quite funny. But just in scrims, we would just have their number and shit on them every time, which was good. And then New York were pretty good at that by the end. But I think everyone else, we kind of figured out how to beat and would make it work. So, yeah, was happy with that.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, 2023, as is, come to a close. We're nearly halfway through the first month of what is already a bizarre year. Anything that you're hoping for as we kind of, you know, close in on hopefully getting some new news about the Overwatch League? Anything, you know, is your heart still in it? Is there something you want to keep doing, or is it, you know, not trying to push you for a retirement speech, but, you know, like, where's your kind of head at when it comes to competing?
I mean, it's hard to say, obviously, because sure, there's no info, but it would have to be pretty good, and I don't have the time or passion as the 16-year-old kid does who,
sure,
you know, doesn't do anything else. Like, I have a lot of other stuff that I'd like to do now, so it's got to be a pretty good offer, or, you know, something worth it. If I wanted to keep doing it every single day or move overseas for it. So I don't know. We'll see. But I feel like, you know, as long as there's flash ops in Australia, like there was recently, I'll always play in those, I think, because I was thinking about it recently on the plane. It's like, I will miss this so fucking much just because it's, you know, it is a dream. And then despite all the shit things that happened in the team, once you get home, you only really remember, or you look back on the good stuff. And so it's something that I want to, you know, keep in ties to, but
sure,
I'm not
married to it.
It's not my only option now. So
I get that. And that's, you know, probably for the best. You know, things are getting a little weird. It sounds like you're in a healthy headspace. You're traveling, you know, you got family around, you know, you've got a life going. So it's nothing to be married to, let's say.
Yeah.
Like I said, you've got options.
You get a real job.
Yeah. Feel that, brother. Yiska, shall we? Should we jump in?
Yeah,
any,
sure.
Any last little? All right. Then here we go. We will jump into the beginning of our list.
Should we, I guess what we could discuss is a little bit of the thought process here, because
true,
I feel like it wasn't, I feel like this might have been the hardest list so far.
I would agree with that, yeah.
And a large part is, once again, we have the same categorization issues that other roles had with the transition. Of course, the tank roles inherently will be harder to, or have that issue because, I mean, was taken away. But yeah, I feel like what we should say in order to make it clear how this, or how it worked in my mind, is I have a catalog of tanks that I see as off tank tanks, right?
Yeah.
And I think for the most part that was upheld during the Overwatch 2 era, with few notable exceptions, some of them present, where people kept their role roughly, right? Like someone like Hawk wasn't brought in to play any main tanks, right? Now there are a couple of categorization issues where, for instance, it is Doomfist a main or an off tank, right? Or is Sigma a main or an off tank? Even in Overwatch 1, that was an ambiguous categorization where people like Marvel played it, but then also, you know, people like Gargoyle or Kronk played it, right? So those were challenges. Roughly speaking, where it is ambiguous for those characters, I just counted them. Otherwise, yeah, for instance, if you, in Punk's case, I would say, for instance, when you played Winston this year, this did not count for me as an off-tank year, or as an off-tank part, right? That would go towards your record as a main tank, right? It's not a perfect way to categorize these ways, but it's really hard otherwise to discern. I think if you want to make it squeaky clean, you say Overwatch 1 era, you say Overwatch 2 era, and then you say Overwatch 2 era is just tanks. I think that would probably be the cleanest.
Okay.
Otherwise, yeah, it is rough. I sort of did this for the flex supports. So for instance, Violet did play a bunch of flex support even while being on main support duty, namely Kiriko. I categorized Kiriko as flex support because most flex supports ended up playing Kiriko when the choice was made which player was to be. Yeah, right? So it's not an exact science, especially in heroes like Brig and whatnot. You can have a long discussion, but this is sort of like the fundamental ideas that I have had. And I have, for this particular list, because the role was removed, I feel like it makes sense to have a bias towards earlier seasons.
Yes, that's kind of the point that I was like leaning towards as well. To piggyback off that was like, you know, I think inherently you are kind of like selecting for some names that are a little bit dated, or names that had a little bit more time to their career, right? Like had more starting time, were in the league a little bit longer than most. So it is like, it's not a longevity award, but it is difficult because it's the only role that was both removed and, you know, existed in parts of the league. So it is tough. So any Timmies in the chat, you know, these aren't names that I particularly like across, you know, many metas. Some of my not least favorite players, but players that definitely have caught some flack on the show in particular, are going to make the list because they were around and they played and they were consistent and they showed up. Like there's, I think as we go through these lists, I think it is becoming more and more apparent that like the longer you stay around, there's a reason for that. Even if it's not necessarily apparent to our tiny smooth brains. So they are going to be, you know, we are selecting for some older names, let's say.
I was going for more recents.
Okay. I mean, I think that's far more interesting because like you're going to have like a player's like mechanical eye and like really get into like the nitty gritty. So I'm excited to kind of see like where that list goes.
I think recency is fine. Do you still agree with the categorization? Like for instance, it's hard for some tanks. Like I guess we could talk about it. I feel like Junker Queen is off tank.
Yep.
I feel like Doom is off tank.
It's a messy one.
But it is reasonably close to Winston. I agree.
Yeah.
I feel like Sigma is off tank.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, D.Va obviously is off tank. Okay, yeah, what about Erasa? Main tank.
That's
right?
Off tank.
Really?
No.
I think Overwatch 2, yeah, maybe off tank.
Yeah, Overwatch 2.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know. I think, like, when we go back to Overwatch 1, like, no one on this list really played Erisa anyway. So it's not, I haven't even thought about Erisa for these guys. Erisa's kind of.
It wasn't played
shit
enough to me.
Hero.
Yeah.
you can't. There was never any, like, super highlight moments or anything. So. I wouldn't put it in there.
But the reason why I say that Doom is off tank, because if I think who played it, it could be 50-50, but it feels like it's more either DPS players. So for Fuel, for instance, Hanbin played, right? Not Fearless?
DPS? Doomfist?
And then Hawk played, not Gator, even though that makes a lot of sense. Dante played Doomfist. Though, I mean, Dante is sort of like a guy. I don't know what that... He's just tank, I guess.
I would put Doomfist in Overwatch 2's just tank, I think. It's pretty hard to call it either one, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really think about Doomfist too much either.
Yeah, I think for the sake of this list, I would consider it. And value people that played Doomfist accordingly. But yeah, I feel like because the role changed so much, I feel like we will have a lot of divergence here, just based on these definitional, you know, differences and how we evaluated it or like judged who goes where. And I think we'll probably do well in order to discern where our differences in opinion are, because I feel, and this might make the list very interesting, other lists always have had like, okay, number one easy, number two easy, number three easy, number four easy. Order maybe sometimes a little bit differently, but mostly it's Joe's smoking crack live on podcast.
I'm on that good Bepis, baby. I smoke only the highest grade of Bepis, okay?
But everyone else just has like a consensus opinion on who's first. So this one, I feel like we might diverge pretty much. And I also think we're getting a ton of shit from
I think
the
that's good,
for
though.
This one.
I think that's fun. I think those are the conversations that we should be having as we go into like a weird new era of like competitive Overwatch. You know, like we've been in the league for so long. Like Blizzard isn't going to come out here and start doing Hall of Fames. And I'm not saying this is the Hall of Fame, but like we need to start like having those discussions so that like, you know, when Timmy Jr. of 2029 comes around, you know, we've got like better ideas of like who was good, and like the only people who are really going to be able to kind of tell us that are, you know, some of the players that played alongside them or like against them. So it's like we need to have those, you know, people like Punk and Astro coming in and telling us that, well, telling me that I'm a moron, and that, you know, Animo is good. So there's that.
Yeah, no cap.
I've got some people though, like if you've put them on this list, like I'm losing all respect.
Go for it. Here we go. Swing. I'm here for that.
I looked at Zumba, and I know people are like, this guy was so good.
Fun to
like,
remember. Fun to remember, but not in the Overwatch League, but also even in the Overwatch League.
Jumping through the window. Jumped through the window and grabbed. I'm glad we don't have him in.
He's the epitome of peaking in high school, okay? Literally peaked at high school age and then fell off a cliff after. Yeah, no.
I will say a name that I wanted to put on the list, but I couldn't because the only like the thing that pushed him over the edge for me, at least, wasn't an Overwatch League competition. It was the World Cup. I so desperately wanted to put Vestal on this list. I thought
I did too. I really wanted to put him on an honorable mention because he
such
did
a
really
fucking
well.
Killer, bro. I thought Finland absolutely smurfed on Korea this year, and part and parcel was because of like. That what was it, New Queen Street, where they like caught the motherfucker like hiding for the Blizzard, like, oh my god, Vestal is a fucking gamer, dude.
He's
a career turnaround.
Good every
yeah
like I don't know like he just has Paris, a, it, he if, was yes. good I don't know he yeah I think he gets shit on maybe mm-hmm. maybe he doesn't get shit on now, but I think he did obviously just
oh yeah
clumped together with Paris, which is
yep.
fair enough, but
yep.
He was always solid. Like I checked, you know, half an hour ago, and he's still streaming, getting his third account to top 10. Like he plays a lot. He's always high rank, so he's good at what he does, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like someone just put out a hit job on both the career of Vestola and Molfig. Like these
True.
Both of these guys were pretty nuts prior.
Yeah.
Then were hard done by the teams that they were on and the situations that they were in,
yep.
and then nobody gave them. Another shot, you know.
Yeah, I would agree with that for the most part. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, that's kind of an interesting question to kind of lead into the like, our bottom of the list. Like, is there anybody that you feel like has been like criminally underrated by the community? That like nobody is talking enough about this player. Like, this guy's actually cracked, but for some reason nobody sees him.
I mean, I probably would put Vestal there, but it's also hard in this list to rank these guys because you've got the time and like when these people sure. played, but then you've also got like a lot of these guys were only good at one thing or like,
yeah.
you know, and so I kind of went for a broader who was okay. good at the most sort of things because obviously like you could put Poco in honorable mentions for like his diva bombs and that's it, but that's what people remember and he was good at that. Yeah. But at the same time now you look back and it's like, well, shit, everyone can do that. But I guess that's just how history works. So
yep.
it's like you have that one good season and it's like, okay, not much else there. You know, not any titles, no, like, individual awards. Like, it's...
Yeah.
Again, honorable mention, maybe, but, like, yeah, it's tough. And I agree. There are a lot of, like... I look at the bottom of my list, I'm like, yeah, you play one hero well, and I don't really care to see you on anything else.
Yeah.
Frankly.
I agree. But I don't think there's any... There's no person that stands out to me. I'm like, yeah, this guy's really good, but no one really knows it. So,
All right.
I would extend an honorable mention to Fried Wiener because that guy, you already know where it's going, Joel.
Like, I do.
The balancing noticeably improved after this man tweeted the Overwatch death team is smoking that loud pack. Okay, after that. Overwatch changed, okay?
It changed again. I don't know if you've seen the patch recently, but apparently DPS and tanks are getting fucking the support role passive, so apparently Fried Wiener needs to get back on his fucking loud pack shit because the devs are on the Beppis train and they need to get off of it.
Nope, I love that shit. Make it, like, okay, let's all be honest, right? Okay, can we be honest with ourselves? Nobody likes team play with randoms.
The experience of playing
with randoms and getting something done as a team. No, the reason why I, as an insecure gamer, play team games with randoms is because I can share the responsibility and take none of my own and call everyone stupid.
Yeah. Okay?
And therefore, like, I want to have the experience of hard carrying as much as possible. And, you know, that helps me a little bit. Even though I definitely won't be, and I'm definitely hot stuck where I belong. But don't tell that to my ego if you meet it.
True. Oh, I know him well. I know him well. Shall we get into number 10? I'll lead us off. Speaking of somebody who is particularly good at one exact hero, but if we're going to be honest, you know, if honesty hours around, I thought he was a pretty good, you know, pretty damn good Sigma player. Number 10 for me, narrowly squeaking in, I've got Krom.
Played quite a bit. One season Andy.
It actually is a season Andy.
It was stage, I remember.
It was pretty good. I don't know. He stuck out, and I don't know. Dude, it was tough.
You can tell that Joe bought the GQ magazine of Krom and Toby in the thing, and those pages are sticky. Yeah. There's no way you can justify Krong.
Guilty as charged, my guy. Guilty as charged.
Well, if you say Krong, you gotta have the other guy as well. We'll see if you go there.
Okay.
There's no way Krong is like top 10 all time best player.
Okay, give me your name. Let me see where your head's at.
I went for the same angle. This guy, he also plays Sigma very well, but he does it better than Krong did, and
here
it's, I put Gargoyle.
Hell yeah!
Yeah, it was a name that was floated. I was like,
why not?
You could put Gargoyle there.
No, you, dude. A, he played two seasons pretty well. Then, not that this should count, but I will also say this kid.
But he was trying to the team.
The kid pounded in scrims this year. Like, if that actually turns into a Sigma meta, I think he's probably the second best in the game. So, like,
let's not get too crazy.
I feel like the reason why, Florida had to react was because they were getting pounded into the ground by Goggle and Scrims. I think that's how the lore goes. And then Who Are You was brought in to level the playing field.
Yeah, but it doesn't... Gargoyle was shit this year, like, and I think he was really good the season before when he was on Mayhem. Like, I remember that he did... I can't remember if it was on a highlight or if it was just something that happened that the players all noticed, but he did like a 360 rock on Kai, and he's just... He's a freak at, like, Sigma, or he was. I still think it was okay, but I thought Fearless ended up just playing Sigma over Gargoyle this year.
I think they tried to avoid it. Didn't they? Weren't they playing a lot of Monkey on, like, Circuit? And we were all like, what?
Yeah, but
they like, were. I feel like they tried to remember avoid Felis. I also remember Felis playing, and like that wasn't
okay.
That wasn't great. But yeah. yeah, I think Gargoyle can play D.Va. I think which
Wrong.
You know, I definitely can't wrong yep. except for like on Watchpoint Gibraltar Sigma, of course. But yeah.
Yeah,
it was like a toss up between, and I won't lie, that was like Vestola was a name that was floating around at 10. Krong, I was like, okay, that's kind of spicy. For whatever reason, I won't lie, like Gargoyle operates in this memory of like, I don't associate much with him. I just know that everybody likes him, and I'm just like,
I'm getting really concerned for your list here, Joel, the things you're saying already.
I'm here for it. I am here for some elbows if Judge
it's not just
Punk Overwatch
pick,
wants to throw it.
But also the others that you considered, and like it's like I feel like you're forgetting seven people once again.
I don't know. Maybe. It's certainly possible. It is certainly possible. Yes, what's number 10?
Gargoyle.
Okay, very good.
Yay, there we go.
Yeah. So
I am good
I feel
for
like
now.
I feel like, should I say that honorable mentions? Because I feel like there are honorable mentions where some people will have them at like six, and I'm like, you're high. What the fuck? No way. Okay. Like these. So I think I won't mention that.
I want to hear it now.
Yeah.
I don't have collusion.
Yeah, no. I don't know that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Dude, there's going to be. I'm not confident. Like, Gargoyle, I'm glad he's on the list. My next one is just...
I don't like most of these bottom names. The top five, I'm like, I feel confident. Like, these are good players. They deserve to be, like, recognized.
Right.
The rest of them, I'm like, fuck. Like, you guys just were around for a long time. You're kind of mid. You played a lot of different heroes to, like, varying degrees. Okay, fine. You can be here. Krong, yeah. I agree. Wasn't one-trick Andy. It's kind of content bait. Forgive me.
I'll also say, if... the categorization didn't fall, and okay, here I'm revealing, but I would have had you in. I don't have you in my top 10 either.
Oh, that's fucked.
I feel like your best year was definitely this year. I feel like when we did the main tank list, it was decently close. But yeah, you're just like suffering from categorization and like getting.
Oh, let's be yes. Be honest, homie got absolutely gulagged. We never got to see him play like maybe potentially at his peak, and he has a different career. We talk about Punk differently if he literally just gets to play and isn't gate kept by.
I'll give you this one. Maybe this makes you happy. Maybe I don't have Kalios.
I'm doubtful. Kalios. What the fuck? I rubbed him out straight away.
Yeah. And I will tell you, for some fucking reason, Koreans love playing with that dude. You notice he got into the big mix.
I think he's a funny bloke. I think he's a funny bloke, so.
Yeah.
But I had Elsa in honorable mentions, which I don't know.
Was a name that was tossed around. Yeah. I was like, was good for the time, but like, I don't remember him doing much else but playing D.Va, to be honest.
Yeah,
and it was in China, so.
I mean, the Chinese are good, dude. They should have won the World Cup, but fuck.
Agreed.
He was good for a long time, and he was. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's obviously hard to see because he was Chinese, so they no one played against him as much. But he was he played up until this year as well. Like he's been around. Yeah. So I would say he fits the categorization that you're after, Iska.
Yep. Yeah. No. Definitely.
Say so. Yesko, what's number 9 for you?
Okay, that's...
Crawl me up.
I have Mecho.
Oh, no. Okay. No.
So...
Uh-oh. Punk's reeling.
I feel like season 1, season 2, top
good
3.
Player. Yeah.
Top 3, top 4 player. Season 3 comes around. I think he's in Houston. Gets kind of fucked, but he's probably still the best player on that team. Considering what I made Gargoyle 9th. It's 10th. I don't feel too bad about Mecho here.
Yeah.
Punk, give me the reaction. What's ailing you?
I mean, Mecho's not on my list. I don't know. He just never really did anything for me. It's also like,
fair.
It's a long time ago. It's hard to think about when I was 4, 15 or something, watching Overwatch
fair,
League.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this guy's good. But he was not good when I played him at all. On Houston, he was not good. So, I don't know. He just never really had any presence or impact. I do remember the name, like when he joined Houston, people were like, oh,
yeah.
Shit, like, you know, Mecco's joined. So I think, you know, he would have been good in GOATs probably. But he's not someone that I think about GOATs. And I'm like, oh, this guy was a good diva in GOATs. Like, he, I've got that guy up on near the top of my list. So,
right.
Yeah.
Same. Mecco's definitely juiced higher. Is on my list, is a little bit higher. I hate these. I don't actually hate this player all that much. I have Bernard at 9.
Okay.
Is that crazy? Okay.
I had him tossing up between him and Gargoyle, to be honest.
Okay.
Again though, he joined Houston, right? Or was he just trialing with them? I forget. Did he join them for the playoffs?
I think he was like a late add. I think he was a late add.
That was Gargoyle. Gargoyle was the late add for Houston.
Was it?
I think it was Bernard.
Am I high?
I think it's
because Gargoyle was already on the team and he got.
Yeah. Gargoyle was on the team. He got dropped and then Bernard was the one that was rumored and then retired.
Wait, entirely right. You're entirely correct. Yes. That's how it works.
Do you want to put Bernard at 10?
Nope.
Okay, fair. Good man.
He did good in the Hung Zhao before. I remember he tweeted and his grav went through the floor on one of the maps.
Yeah.
I went back and watched. No, it was on. It went through the floor on New Queen Street. Like, it just went through the snow. They should have won that game, I think, with that grav. But he was pretty good. I watched that VOD over to, you know, just watching VODs, and he looked good to me, and he was good at D.Va.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, on the Philly Uni roster.
Yep.
Very, very high praise for that roster, even though people shit on Nice as well a lot. Like, and a lot of that team was Alarm, so it's hard to say. But, yeah, I was tossing up Bernard, but I think, again, he joined Houston, and I remember playing them in scrims, being like, oh, who's this tank that they're trying? And he was shit. So, like,
the thing is, the story is about Bernard, not about Gargoyle coming in late. Like, Bernard is the one that kicked off the arms race with Who Are You? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. I very much, in a lot of the same points that Punk brought up, I agree with. I almost view him as a Gazaria player, almost. He definitely can play D.Va, but, like, I remember him on, like, BK Stars, on Fusion Uni, even back on, like, London for a little bit, like...
Bence was
dabbling a little bit.
On Fusion
Uni. I mean, yes, but who also wasn't, you know? It was, like, Alarm and Who Are You, and absolutely, like, kind of slapping everybody, and it wasn't, you know, particularly close until, like, Mayhem Academy starts kicking around. I thought solid player, had a good hero pool, had a couple of years under his belt. He makes the list. I don't know. Solid player.
He was all right.
Yeah, I'll take it. All right. I'll take a, it's all right. I'll take a calm response to number 9, Punk, Judge, Honorable Judge, Your Honor. Give me your number 9.
I'm not confident about this one, but I've got space here. And...
Ooh.
I'm guessing he's probably higher up on a lot of your lists, maybe?
Yeah. But it's open to interpretation. Unless somebody else has a better name and then I drop space, he is higher.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. He was good on Valiant, really good on Valiant.
Right.
He got fucking stacks of cash, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
He got like... I watched his stream like all the time. I learned a lot from him just watching, especially how he talks. Like, he was really good at communicating, which I wasn't at the very start. So I learned a lot from Space, and it could be only recently that, like, I'd like to say that I did better than him towards the end of his career, which, you know, he had others, there was other things going on. So it's like my perception of him kind of changed, or maybe he just got worse or better, who knows. But he was definitely, like, he's someone you got to mention, for sure. Like, he changed the game a bit for D.Va. I remember people were Matrix bots, but he was the first guy to, like, race car people and just shift in and one-shot someone. He was hot property. I remember he got, like, 300k from Valiant or something.
Yeah, heard some numbers, definitely got paid handsomely. As somebody who obviously spent a lot of time playing D.Va, there's one player in particular that always is fun to remember, because it felt like his career flipped on its nose when micro-missiles were introduced, and like D.Va swapped from becoming this like really defensive kind of like, you know, stopgap for any kind of like flanker, to now like you're actually being asked to be more aggressive. And in my mind, I thought that Wuhyeol had like such a career dip, like such a, like, I, if you put me back in the day, like, oh my God, such an amazing defensive player. And then micro missiles hit and this kid just forgot how to play the game. Like actually just like flipped.
It wasn't just micro missiles. It was also, they changed Matrix to uptime pretty significantly.
Yeah, so that does ring a bell. Yeah. But like, is that something that like you remember pretty fondly? Like, was that, you know, you talked about how Space like became that like a race car, like had that more aggressive play style. Was that something that was, you know, was that change as like monumental as both it seemed, but it was like more so than I feel like most community members could like really see?
Yeah, I think definitely it was massive. Like,
yeah.
You could just do everything as D.Va, and you had to do everything in Overwatch 1. You had to eat the pulse bomb that the Trace is going to stick your Zen with. You have to watch the grab that's coming. You have to go off and get those solo kills. Like, I think that's why, I mean, D.Va was around for so long as well, because you could just do everything, and it was so good. You became a big Tracer. You became still like a protecting tank, but it opened it up way more. I didn't really play D.Va too much, to be honest, before that. It was kind of boring. I mean, it just improved everything, except for maybe creating goats, but
Fair play. All right, we've got... Yusuke, did you give your number 9?
Yeah. I was Mecho.
Mecho, that's right. Okay, so number 9s are in. I don't like my number 8. I hate that I have to wiggle around all of them up until like 5. I don't like this, but I think you kind of have to put him here based on longevity. I've got Hotpa.
Yeah, that's a bullet you got to bite.
I don't like it. Like he's always just been fine in my mind.
Off tanks, yeah, definitely.
By
the way, that dude is a back getter. Fucking nuts. Like, for some reason, he always... this guy is, like... He's not... Okay, my metaphor doesn't work that way. Like... Okay, no. Here's how I would frame it, okay?
Okay.
He's the truffle that the pay pick always finds, okay? Guy was able to get, like... cash out of folks is crazy.
Was he just everybody's friend? Like, was Hotpa just like friends with everybody, and they're just like, yeah, Hotpa could play. He's like, yeah, I could. You could pay me too. Like, all right.
I think every team was just like, we need a Hotpa. We need, you know.
Just,
I guess
it's like, I remember talking to a general manager and going like, yeah, we were very interested in Hotpa, and we talked to him, and we're like, you got 3x of our offer from that. Like, okay, dude, knock yourself out, have fun. So I don't know, like I feel like he has longevity, you gotta say.
Yeah,
at this point he's the archetypical mercenary. He's very Kharif-esque. Granted, like I think he was always overrated by the community. But also,
Homie played Tracer one time and hit a couple pulses and hit some fat D.Va bombs and like actually became like number one player on Twitter in the Timmy chat. Like, I want to like rip out my hair. That is
it was because of the tracer that everyone thought he was sick, and I don't know. He was good, and I think at that point he was good, and people loved him for that. And then he kind of went dark, and that's I mean, he went to Guangzhou, right? So
yeah, he went from Philly to Guangzhou.
No wonder he went dark. You know,
true.
But then he did have a resurgence on Toronto last year.
Yeah, looks pretty good.
The Hisu Toronto, so. Yep. He did good there. He's in honorable mentions for me because he's been around and he's solid. He's always been solid.
Yep.
Going from Philly to Guangzhou to Toronto is just crazy.
Oh, wasn't he traded? Wasn't that like a trade? One of the one like...
With Fraggy?
I think. Wasn't it like Fraggy and Kib?
Yes.
Yeah. Something like that.
Kib did go there.
Weird piece of lore. I don't know why that hit me just now, but I was like, wait, I vaguely remember like writing up news pieces about like, oh, trade, like, oh shit, that doesn't happen
often. Imagine Fraggy and Kib just chilling in the Philadelphia house, and it's like, all right, pack your bags, you're going to China. Like,
what?
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
And Hot Bear's like, I'm Hot Balenciaga now. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. All right, Yiska, hit me with your eight. What do you got coming in?
Look, here's the problem.
Yeah, wiggle all you need to, okay? I understand your
opinion. No, I, like, Eric, as Eric can vouch, I have Hot by Nate as well, but I feel he might even have to go one up, but I'm not sure.
Why?
We'll see. Just longevity and, like, you know, pretty solid. It's eighth is, like, the grief spot, okay? That's where Hotba is. Like, in my heart. Did he get a role star ever?
No.
Probably did. No?
No.
No, true. Like, they were a little bit too stacked, I guess.
Yeah. There's so many good flex tanks, but they're just like, they have like a peak and then they just never.
You would think the same about flex support, but alas, Karif is.
True. Yeah. You're not wrong. Hit a couple sleep darts. Got paid. Credit to the man.
Wait, which
Myeongbong.
Season was
that? That's Myeongbong.
True, yeah, not wrong.
What's that season? When did Karif get to role star? Season 3?
Yeah, look. Oh, look.
Karif? Oh, Karif was good, dude. Karif was really good.
I think he was an absolute, like, playmaker, but he also, like, kind of, I don't know. To me, I always, like, look at his Zen, and I'm like, homie can aim, and his positioning's a little weird, but he'll win you the game, but he'll also maybe coin flip that shit. Like, he was good.
For a while.
The reason... It was
the reason why we shit
again
on him. Yes, the Valiant team was good, but then if memory serves, and Yiska, you can correct me if I'm wrong, he played DPS like more than support that year, but he had like some fat clips on support, and he won an award for it, which I thought was always a meme.
Yeah, it like also like just before ballots were tossed out, he had like this one monster game, and like everyone's like, oh yeah, I guess let's study up. I watched one map, cool. It was
2019 is when he won his role star.
Which map was it? It was.
It was on Ike. I remember him hitting a couple fat sleeps on Ike.
It's not just Ike and Wall. Oh fuck! It's. It's not Root. I'll figure it out. But yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, but yeah, Hotba. I feel like maybe he might even have to be one higher, but maybe I'm wrong.
Okay.
But I'm also being influenced by what Punk said earlier about another player. I'm really interested. At this point, based on what Punk said, I'm not sure who he's filling it.
Yeah,
with.
It's a mystery. This list is a mystery. Punk, enlighten us, illuminate us, Your Honor.
But, I mean, I think this guy's going to be on the top of your list, pretty much.
Okay.
I have Void.
Holy shit!
Okay.
I have Void at number 8.
Okay.
If we wind the clock back to when he was the best player, sure. Like, you could do that for everybody on the list. Like, we could wind the clock back to Zumba. We could say, man, Zumba, greatest guy of all time at the time.
Sure.
But it's like, you know, these guys disappeared for a bit, and so it knocks them
for
down.
Sure.
And
yeah.
I think you have to take the recent people as the better ones, because they replaced these guys. And like, sure, they're retired or whatever, but like, they, like, the new players are better than the old players. It's just, that's how it works.
This is how you set yourself up to put yourself in top three. This is
space. I love it.
I mean, you couldn't give me a list with my name and not put me, hey, you know, not have me put me somewhere.
I would not shame you if you fucking juiced and put yourself anywhere.
I need help though. I can't put myself exactly, you know, you can't ask someone to put themselves in a top 10 list and nowhere.
True.
So
true.
We'll need help with that. But yeah, Void, number 8.
Okay. All right. Now
I'll tell you what. Going to be an asshole about it and don't send your dad on me. I suffered through this.
No,
but I tell you,
fine,
you're below Void. Okay.
Papa Gilchrist, right. The homie.
Dude, Void for a while was the GOAT. Okay. Like, of Overwatch. Not just Overwatch League, but like, because this guy was already the best in Season 2 of Apex. So he comes into Overwatch League a little bit later, has a slower start. By Season 2, he's a monster. Season 3 is very good as well. Season 4, he wins it. Season 5, okay. Shit slows down. Yeah, like 5 and 6 is not great, especially because like he sort of got duped by Profit into... Just
he
like
started joined. Bad though. He joined Glad's, right? He was on Glad's.
Yeah, I think that Glad's roster was just cooked from the start.
They had Roar as well. Yeah, and Decay was so I don't know. It's hard to say, but he, I don't know.
He did have a questionable start
really
for sure.
Good.
Yeah,
like he was good at a lot of things as well. Which probably adds to it. There we go.
He did disappear, especially like was it? Last year, this year, I don't think he played. Last year, he played like Junker Queen and then didn't play. Right?
He was old, man.
Yeah, like, I mean,
he was
he's
what,
been around.
20... Yeah, he was like he looks very young, but like you know, it's just genetic role. But then you look at his Wikipedia or something compared to everyone else, he's like ancient.
It's also because he had a sick glow up during Overwatch League. Holy shit!
He's drippy. What's drippy as shit? But yeah, that's that. I'm so excited to see where this goes because I always like default. I'll always default to the players. You guys are gonna know far more than me. Like that, this has been your calling for so long. So it's like that is fascinating. I am so very interested.
This is hot.
This is a different perspective.
Yes, and that is ideal. Awesome, not just for content, but like for discussion's sake. Like that's what you're. I think what you want. That being said, Jessica, give me your number 7. You lead us off. he's wiggling.
I have Poco.
Okay, not on my list. Poco is not on my list.
So Poco has a longevity. Decent in season 1. Season 2 is like Billy's not great. Season 3. Season 3 was the...
What team was he on?
Philly.
I was on Philly forever until London, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
But, wait, is season 3 is the... No, season 4 is the season when they get split, right? And where they get fucked. Season 3 is the season where they dominate.
Yes, they dominate by getting second in everything.
Yes,
Did
but
he play?
Like...
That's a great question.
Who else would have
I don't remember. Let's see.
On Philly.
Poco, Sato, Fury. Fury maybe played?
Oh, yeah, it was Fury, right?
Yeah, like, it had to have been.
It was, yes. Yeah. But I don't think exclusively.
Let me look this up, to be honest. Yeah.
And then I guess really retires... With season 5, right? Like season 6. Okay. You play the game.
Yeah.
Like. And yeah, was consistently like a good player throughout it. I agree, like once again, like that's why I said you could probably argue a hot bar over Poco, but I don't know. Like, I didn't really have anyone else to put in there. But because you brought Poco up as, it's like one of the guys that you wouldn't put in, I was already feeling it. I was like, okay, interesting.
Yeah, but I, like, he's one of the players who was good at DeVi at the time, mm-hmm. and then also was decent at Sigma. And already that puts you above half the list because some of these guys are just only Divas or only Sigmas, Kronk. So I think to have both is just, you know, puts you up there.
Sure. Yeah, I don't hate it. I don't hate it. A name that you kind of have to float around, but yeah, didn't make my list. A name that did kind of already get mentioned comes in at number 7 for me. I have Space at number 7. I, you know, echoing a lot of those same points, I thought was one of the better, if not, yeah, I would say one of the better, like, Western flex tanks of all time. I think if you pick a year towards the start of the Overwatch League, I think, you know, you can argue that, you know, Space was one of the more both influential, but also one of the best players that NA has probably ever produced. And yeah, homie could play a number of things. I think he gets needlessly shit on for the Junker Queen stuff, which, you know, you can lean either way. It's a difficult situation.
Why does that?
I do remember there was like that time period where he wasn't playing. Did he come back and then play it?
Yeah, he came back after they'd already been knocked out, and then they won the rest of their games, but they were knocked out.
Right.
But he, yeah, that, I mean, the team was a mess. Like, that was peak Gladiator drama. So, I mean, obviously, in hindsight, everyone says they would have had a better chance with Space playing, which is true. But, you know, he ended up being okay at that, which, I mean, I don't know. I don't see why Glads would not have thought that. Maybe it's like, you know, character.
They thought he was just in the middle of getting like, he was claiming him as starter. He was in the middle of getting cancelled.
Right.
And
yes, that's right.
I think they just win this stage if that doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's a headcanon that you. I don't know how to think about it, but I do like. I think a lot of the points that you bring up about like how Glads probably their season looks so completely different, and like they probably are the best team. I think that's 2022 that we're talking about. That year, you know, if Space is able to play Reiner, and I think that's where I'm getting mixed up. Where like I think a lot of people like shat on Reiner because he was kind of thrown in, probably didn't practice a ton, wasn't the starter in scrims leading up to that, and then, you know, needlessly gets shit on for that. And yeah, Space did come in and look great. So yeah, has a good hero pool, longevity. Space is the homie. Yeska, did you do 7?
It's my turn.
Oh, Punk, yes. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Yeah, I've got Piggy.
Piggy, okay. I was wondering where... That is a name that will... I feel like I have to, like, I debate a lot with people, and I don't see it. So, like, talk to me about Piggy. Like, why do we like Piggy?
People love... he came from Talon, right, with Jangu. People loved him in that offseason. Like, he almost took my spot on Boston. They offered it to him, I think. But, I don't know, he went out somewhere else, so it wasn't good enough. But Laurie really liked him, which, at this point, probably isn't good news. But he was really good at doing damage, that guy, everything. Piggy would have the most... I think when the IBM stats were around, he was the best Sigma, and that was pretty clear.
Yeah.
You felt that playing against him. He was just always lapping, like, half the tanks in the league on just Fluxes because he was so good at just min-maxing damage. And you'd watch him, and it's like, okay, it doesn't look too hard, and you can just... You know, I'll try and do this in the next map or something. And then again, he's just ahead. I don't know. He had a feel that no one else kind of really did, especially on Sigma. And he started out good on D.Va as well. That was when there was like a Mercy, D.Va, Winston meta or Ball. Maybe it was the Ball meta, but where D.Va would go off and had to kill people. And he was pretty good at that to start. And then... He went on a big, big downward trend that bled into the next season on Houston, or
sure.
Yeah,
I don't know, whenever it was, where he got it was actually it was Overwatch 2. He went into Overwatch 2, and I thought this guy's gonna be really good because he was playing ranked every day, all day on Winston, and I knew that he was probably one of the people where I was like, oh, this guy's gonna be able to flex and play Winston and be really good and just take over on Zarya. He was really good at Zarya as well, but he shit the bed in Overwatch 2. He got worse at everything. He got worse at Sigma. He got worse at Zarya. But I think, like, when he was good, he was really, really good. So
okay.
I rate him.
All right. That's definitely, I think that's something that Harsha always, like, pushes a lot. You know, obviously a former player and whatnot, but, like, it was always one that I was like, I don't see it. Like, why the piggy love? And I have always heard that, like, people rated his Sigma as, like, you know, easily his best hero, so good. But, like, the context of, you know, obviously, like, lapping people and, like, the feel from a pro player's perspective is something that, you know, nobody's really ever gonna
be able to tell. Like, I also got told by Laurie, and, like, like, I knew that he really liked him. I knew that he almost had the spot, and so he would tell me to watch him all the time. And so it was kind of set up in the way that he was really good. And he was, but especially it was echoed in our team. This guy was insane. Like, Huck really wanted him as well. He was hot property, I think, for that season. Or maybe not. But anyway, Boston really wanted him. So
for that one season, he was good. And the best part about Piggy, in my opinion, is that he brought Pelican. That was like a dip, right? Like, and you gotta say, in the end, that paid off very well for Houston, right? Like, that Pelican stuck around.
Bit, yeah.
I think it's probably fair. I probably underrate Piggy a little bit. I think you're completely right about the Sigma season, and it was really impressive. After that, just like there's something about, like, his inability to adapt whatsoever also in a team environment after the switch to Overwatch 2, where I just like, okay, you're one season Andy now, you know? That's...
Yeah, I can see that. Like I said, he dropped off, like, massively. I'm pretty sure he had some, like... Were him and Pelican buddies by the end, or did they hate each other? And...
No, they... Oh, okay. That was the entire thing that... Like, when Pelican was still on Atlanta and Piggy was playing, like, they were calling each other all the time. They were, like, best friends. And then they were like, okay, we're going to go to the same team. And then Pelican went to Houston. Also, I think, from what Gator said, I think that there were some, you know, Pelican wasn't an easy guy to get along with. So they probably didn't hate.
Makes sense.
Like, getting something for him. And then they played on Houston together. And, I mean, Pelly, still, like, one of the best flex DPS players of all time. It's definitely a good catch. I always wonder what would have happened if Overwatch Season 5 had more off-tank presence. Like, that could have really catapulted Houston's legacy. And then in the end, you just gotta...
Season 5... Oh, fuck. What was Season 5? Was that the one where I went to Billy Joel? Or... That was Mag, Boston? I can't remember. It's all a blur.
It is kind of all a blur.
So second half, right? Like,
yeah, Mag was second half. So
yeah.
We started that year with three tanks. So yeah. 20... Yeah, there wasn't much. Yeah,
Bushy. Hey.
Yes.
Yes.
dear. Yeah.
It's the 500K.
What a time.
Yeah,
was that true? Did he get offers for fucking $400 million or whatever?
No, that was just League Mafia just absolutely trolling the entire community and folks just believing that.
I believed it, and fucking our coach did, and god. Anyway,
I think
what you do, children.
I think, like, people are probably, like, nobody was really even interested in Gebushi that much. I think.
Well, that's why it made no sense, because, like, the leaks came out that was like GLADS and Fusion want him, and then he didn't get picked up. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm like, because I knew he was like WGS, they were all in love, they wanted to play with each other.
Yeah.
And so I was already scared for my job. But then I saw that and I was like, sweet, he's going to go to some other team for like $200 million. And then he didn't get picked up. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then Mineral was like, oh, no, no, we really trust you. We want you. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's bullshit. And then, you know, before it was even season had started, I'd been replaced. So it was, you know, I could see it coming once he didn't get picked up. But I remember I thought that he was. And yeah.
How did you split scrims with three people for one role?
I was a nightmare. It was...
Eventually, there was a fourth person as well, because, like, wasn't It's All... I mean, Mag obviously came mid-season, but it was, like, It's All, Gablesy, and you, right?
Gablesy was the year before.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, but we started going into Overwatch 2 with Marvel, It's All, and me.
I remember this now.
Yeah, I was like, you know, fair enough to get a second tank. Like, it makes sense. Most people are going to do it. But then we got fucking three, and I was like, okay, who's going to play? Like, there is one spot and three players.
Yeah.
So, it was such a mess at the start. No one, like, of course, we're all good at different things, and we're all, like, okay at other things. And so, like, Marvel was okay at Sigma, and, like, okay at Monkey. And I think it was Rush in the preseason, and it was funny because it was Ryan Rush, and we played Ryan, and Laurie went through every one of us playing Ryan, and we were all shit. We were all fucking terrible at Ryan. And so it was like, well, what have you done now? You've gotten three tanks and none of them can play Ryan, you know? So that was a huge mistake. I don't know. Like, Marvel was never superb at anything.
Just kind of okay at a lot of things.
Yeah, and I guess I could see it for Itzel because he was, like, young and they could make him into the monkey guy, which is probably what they thought. And I remember he played ball. He only ended up playing ball for us on, like, Ilios. Yeah, just Ilios. But that was a failure as well. But, you know, so he played ball in the scrims, and then I split time with Marvel pretty much until they decided that, or until he decided that he wanted to leave or get kicked. So it was such a pain just sitting there watching other people. So, because we play, you know, 2 hour scrim, six maps, and you'd end at the very start, we'd get two maps each in the whole hour.
Mm.
So it was just painful and, you know, useless.
Nice. Genius.
Yeah, yep. Honestly. Yeah. Trying to do two things at once. I feel like that's most of Boston's, like, history. Is like, it was painful, you know, like, too many cooks, not enough direction. And that's, God bless them. Yeah, they tried. I'll launch number six off as we get closer to the top five. This is another name that was already mentioned. It is a legacy mention because I am old and I did watch way back when. So this is Mecco for me again. Somebody who led the Overwatch League those first few seasons, looked absolutely stellar. Obviously, you know, has a storied career prior to that. And yeah, when I think of flex tanks, you know, I feel like you kind of have to put Mecco on this list. But yeah, I agree with a lot of the Punk rebuttal where, you know, he did kind of capsize towards the more modern era of Overwatch. And there are probably more talented players, but they just don't have that longevity, and that's, I feel like, at least for me, what played a big role in a lot of this, especially when it's, you know, when you're judging it as a role that kind of did get deleted these last couple of years. So it was difficult to kind of, like, balance that out, so I just probably leaned a little bit more into the legacy or longevity picks. So that's why, you know, Mecco's six for me. Iska, what's your six?
I'm doing a switch, I think, and I'm going space.
Solid.
Yeah, I don't hate that. I think that's around the limit, I would say. I don't know that I could put him any higher, but yeah, I would say that's probably where he could fit. Punk, what's your six?
I had trouble with number six, and like, I look at this list from, like, you guys can look at it through all time, right? Like, you know, you're not keeping up with the times as much.
Fair.
But in my mind, I was like, okay, I look at these names now and I'm like, who's good now?
Mm.
So I did have to put myself somewhere because you allowed me to put myself somewhere. So I've got myself at number six, but honestly, like, asking someone to rate themselves is pretty tricky. So I honestly, I don't know, but I have the longevity. I've stuck around, so I don't know.
I will forever. No. And that's fair. I think there are a ton of points where I wish these teams would have just kept you guys rolling. I think it was on Boston. I don't remember which year it was, but I thought you guys had such a unique way to, like, not unique way, but I thought you played, like, I remember New Queen Street being like such a dope map for you guys. And I think I remember, were you guys like a big Zarya team early one year? Was it like the Zarya Reaper stuff that like Dallas ended up winning with? Like, you guys were like early to that. Were you playing that? I can't remember.
Yeah, that must have been we won like three games in a row.
Yeah. You guys like started
Washington.
Yes.
That was a nice win. We played. It was the Zarya Soldier Genji, I think, because we had Valentine on Genji, and then Victoria on Soldier, and we were just good at bubble. Yep. Genji or a bubble, maybe it was bubble Reaper, yeah,
something like that. But that it was that like stylistic stuff that like you just could just put Punk in and be a stylistic team a la London or like Chengdu, you know, in seasons past, and be good. Like, unironically, if they just put you in, they would probably be good. And then they would always just try to swap in, like, whether it was Itzal or Mag, forgive me, my memory fails me, but, like, there was always just some weird monkey player that would just rotate you out, and now we're playing monkey, and it just was such a weird time that, like, I think, for me, if I could get, like, one more season that you just started, I think you unequivocally are on this list.
That's also my issue. I think, like, you're, like, on the shockwave meter of getting your career fucked with. You're pretty close. So, like, by outside circumstances. I feel like you probably had a little bit... unlucky choice. Did you have other offers where you're in hindsight thinking, oh, if I went to with that offer, like, my career would have gone very way differently?
Nah. For the first 2 years, it was shit. Like, I only got on Boston because of COVID. Because Brewson wanted to leave, and so they had no off tank. They had Mufin, who was doing weird things, and then they had Brewson, and Brewson wanted to leave. And so, and like before that, like I said before, they got rid of me for Dragon Eddie at the time. And so I was like, fuck this, I'm going back to school. And so I went and started doing uni. But Boston, during COVID, for some reason with the company, the craft group, they could only hire an American. And at the time, there was no good tanks. Like, I think they actually tried to get Icy before me. And they were like pretty set in stone. But then at the very end, they only found out that it could be American, not Canadian as well. So then they were fucked and they needed a player. So within 3 days, they called me in the middle of COVID where no one's traveling, no one's going outside. And then I got on a plane with only like 10 people on it to Boston. And that's why, because I have an American, I was born there. So that's the only reason why I joined the team. I hadn't played in a while. I'd sent ranked VODs. So it was just Ascoft at the time being like, yeah, this guy is possible, because the team was a dumpster fire. Like, and then so that's like from the start and the first couple of years. So I joined that, and then again the team was shit. We only won one game, which was my debut, and then one in the playoffs. And after that, of course, no one's gonna look at the bottom team. Like, you don't there were other big names that are on this list that people are going after, and so there was no option there. I was honestly just kind of happy to get extended by Boston and, you know, start fresh and have a full year. which was fine. Didn't end up being fine, but I was happy at the time doing that. And then my contract was supposed to end the next year, and it did, but Mineral came back with some bullshit, which I regret signing now, but it was basically because the contracts changed where they introduced that you don't have to get paid your full amount. It's only if you start 40% of maps in the month. At least they allowed that in the league.
Okay.
And a lot of other teams didn't actually do it, but they told us that it was like the new league standard because you had people like Shawfor sitting on the bench and they were getting full salary. Like they were just, I remember it was a big deal where people could hold teams hostage. Their money. And so he was like, this was kind of the Gabe Woolsey thing where he's like, you know, if you sign this new contract with us, which is a 1+1 instead of yours running out this year, we'll give you, I think it was like $5,000 or $10,000 more. And, you know, we're still very keen on you. Like, you're our guy, blah, blah, blah. And I took it because the money wasn't good at the time. So I was like, yeah, whatever. I'll listen to you. But, of course, they got Gabe Woolsey. And then, so it was just kind of a bit of a cycle where I was just kind of on Boston. And then there was no good teams wanting me. And then I signed that contract, which probably shouldn't have, because I think after that year when they decided to option me, I think Glads maybe wanted me, but I don't know. I was just never really looked at because no one was keen on Boston because it was just not great.
Sure, yeah.
Probably wasn't the best player as well, so it was just – it didn't just click for me. And then only – before Vancouver is when I was talking to Glads a lot. And they didn't have as good a salary or, you know, in the end, I think I made the right choice, but
sure.
Yeah. So it's kind of, there was no auction or anything like that for me ever. So.
Yeah. I feel like it's already like, sort of making it out of the gulag to get from the like Pacific scene or Australian scene over. I think like that's a jump that very few have made. And if they made it, then the stay wasn't very long unless you're Custer. I'm thinking of Adam mainly.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And so it's like to make it was already kind of a success for me.
Yes.
And that's why I kind of signed those deals with Boston is because, you know, if I don't sign, then I can't stay in America. And then what? Then I'm just playing 180 ping. And it's impossible to like edge out other people really. Like, and when, you know, they can just pick someone from North America. So it was kind of staying in was the main focus at the very start. And then only towards the very end, I kind of wanted to look for good stuff, but yeah, I think I'm the only one. Like, it was me, Colorhex, Trill, and Adam to only ever get offers, and I think
I definitely
stayed the longest, and you know, it's hard.
Yeah, I mean, and I think like the visa thing not being there definitely was a boon for you. I think like the uphill battle, especially during COVID, to get, you know, a visa or anything of that sort would probably been rough. But what was there in, wait, let me, your last year in Boston was season 5, correct? Did you get any other offers from any other teams than Boston during season 5? Like between season 4 and season 5?
Like mid-season trading or...
Yeah, they activated your option, right?
Yes. Season 5 was my optioned year.
Right. And I assume, I think they have to relate to you if there were any trade offers or anything. Or, I mean, let's be honest, there's a lot of poaching going on as well. Did you have any like contact to any other teams during that time?
I think I knew there was always talk of like, oh, this team might want you, or like, they're looking into it, but it was kind of shut down at like Huck and the management because they don't want to tell you that some other teams after you, because then it might go to your head, or it's just not
sense,
it's just one of those things that's not useful for a player. Like, from the point of view of a management, I can see that. So I never got confirmation or anything, but and like it kind of worked against me that Boston, like, I did well, because obviously they wanted to keep me during those hard seasons, and so when those talks came, oh, do you want to trade for this guy, they were always quick to say no or whatever. So yeah, I was basically in a 3-year locked in with Boston because I signed that new 1+1 instead of staying on my old one where I would have been a free agent.
Yeah, and I also remember, like, what I usually heard was that the buyouts that Boston demanded were ridiculous. In comparison,
there was just no
chance.
And
they also demand, like, they would never pay high buyouts either. Like, they would negotiate over comical differences at times. So, unfortunately, bit of a contract jail then.
Yeah, a little bit. But again, it's like I was happy with that to just stay in
for sure.
Until I wasn't, basically. So
honestly, yeah, like, I'm not sure if it was a mistake to do the things you did. I think like that you just didn't have any options the way you're describing it, right?
Yeah. Like, I could have entered free agency, but it's, you know, what if? Because his whole thing, Mineral said, was if I didn't sign the new contract, they would definitely get a new player because they wanted, you know, to rebuild for the next couple of years, which is like just bullshit talk.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, at the time, I'm like, well, shit, like, I've only had this one half a year on Boston, which like no one gives a fuck about. Like, because you could easily just be the Bruce who plays half a year or something, and then, you know, you're gone. So I kind of just wanted the security of staying in instead of doing free agency, because then if I'm a free agent, I go home, there's no contacts, it's, you know, it's risky. But yeah, I think that's something that could have been interesting to do, because then again, yeah, like, Boston were never going to let me go for cheap or anything. And that was the problem. Like, why the team was shit as well, because there was no solutions ever with, like, oh, we need a new player. It was just working with what we've got, except when Laurie wanted to get someone, but we were so limited to who we could get. Like, there was no money to pay for big names, except for in the last year where we got Stryker and Crimzo and everything. But even then, that turned out shit. So it was just, it's not a good... not a good track record, but that's all right.
It is what it is. I think, you know, you escaped the gulag and had, I think, a bright end to the league itself. So
yeah, I was happy with that. Like, it was
prove them wrong in a way. Nobody was looking at you, and now you're on the cusp of making playoffs. Like, proves you guys wrong.
Yeah, but as someone from Australia, it's just, now I'm just happy that I have made it this far. Like, so it's tough to stick around.
Yeah.
I heard that.
Perfect sense, yeah.
No. For the sake of time, because we continue on, how do you guys feel about running through the top five and in a go, let's say? And then we can kind of
short
dissect
them. I think, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. All right, we'll keep it short.
Yep.
Yeah.
Shouldn't
be too crazy.
Yeah.
Give us a double whammy, Punk. What's your fifth?
My next Collusion Hawk.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
4 and 5. Okay. You want to do your 4 and 5, Joe?
Yeah, I can do 4 and 5. My 5 is Hawk. Probably similar talking points about Hawk. I definitely don't have Kalouche. That is
Yep.
One that I think it definitely aligns with like how you were looking at more recent stuff, because I do think Kaluj is like a very talented flex tank.
He also didn't play much flex tank.
Yeah, that's where I struggle, is like I didn't get to like see him on it a ton. But that's where scrims and stuff like that like is going to influence. So that's, you know, I would trust your, you know, sight on that. And number four for me was Fear.
Okay. I got Hawk in five.
Yep.
Hello, Reddit. I got Choyobin in four.
Oh.
You've always been a Choi hater.
Well, this guy isn't a carry player whatsoever. He did get that Grand Finals MVP. He's a carry player. Talk to coaches. Just do it. Like, he's relatively passive in his play style. I remember during GOATS, he was, like, just smarter than a lot of other divas. But
he was really good in GOATS.
Yes. Yeah. Extremely.
I would argue not better than my third. But, yeah, like, I think he's definitely one of the greats. Definitely, like, two rings and whatnot.
Yeah.
Also, at this point, you probably need a ring in order to be here on my list.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it is necessarily, like, you know, the criteria, but, like, it probably is a co-emergent property of you being a very good player that you probably have one, at least. He got two. But, yeah, I feel like he's not one of those hard carry dudes that where I feel like he ever like was the guy that necessarily turned it, other than notably that finals performance, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, I think in Ghosts though, he just had it figured out. Like, it was such a more complicated game, obviously, at the time, but he would like stand on May walls and shoot from behind the Ryan, and like at the time it was like such a innovative, you know, strat, and just how he moved around was really good. He did, again, like most of the older players, he fell off at the very end. But even in, you know, in Overwatch 1, where before he retired, he kind of, that showed where he wasn't in GOATS and the team wasn't as good. And he kind of showed that he wasn't, like you said, Yiska, the carry, do-it-himself guy. So I would agree that he's not. I think a lot of people would have him at like pretty much number one.
Yeah,
or
I
number
agree.
Two. Yep. So I think it's good to have him down a couple notches.
Yeah.
I have him at three, so he's my number three.
Okay. I think it's a good mix. I have him at two, if we're gonna start filling in names.
Sure.
But there again, like, I've always been a Choi fan. I think, you know, we did an exercise prior to the Overwatch League during Overwatch League season one, where it's like, okay, who are like the names that like should be in the league that weren't kind of brought up? And I remember like Choi and like Architect were like the big like names, and I was like, bro, you guys got to get them, like they're insane. And then obviously Shock, you know, makes that move, and I feel like sets themselves up for season two extremely well. I always thought his diva was like insane, super super talented. I agree that he was never really like a hard carry player, but like was like the best do everything kind of okay flex tank. Like, kind of was okay. I think the one thing you could probably levy against him was his emergence on Sigma was like not like his start on Sigma was actually quite bad, if memory serves. And then he kind of grew into it as I think season three progressed, or the end of season two. I don't remember exactly the timeline there, but I remember him being not very good on Sigma and then like grew into the hero quite a bit. But yeah, I have Choi at two. I am an unabashed Choi fan, so that's a little bit of bias there.
All right, should we fill in number threes?
Yeah, we can go for threes. Three for me is Void. Again, old guy, got some rings. Another, like, do-it-all kind of player. Take that however you will. Yiska.
Fury.
What's your third? Fury? Okay, yeah. I think, yeah, this is exactly where I thought, like, you and I were set.
Possibly the highest off-tank peak of all time.
Interesting. Okay, Punk. Where do you feel about Fury? Because I think that's a name that also has been like forgotten to antiquity. But I feel like maybe some opinions.
He's good. He's always been good. Like, he's got those clips. He can play everything. I think he played Junker Queen in 2023 or 2022. So he adapted to the times a little bit, but his diva was insane.
Yeah.
They, like, in pretty much all the styles of diva. His Sigma was... I don't remember too much, to be honest, about his Sigma, but I just... He was always pretty much in the conversation of top two, top three at all times that he played. So it's kind of like he's, you know, naturally got to be top two, top three in the all time because he's stuck around in there. But, you know, everyone can cast their minds back to the goats flick that he did. I'm not sure if he's the one who started doing it, but like that was a big thing, was faking out people with the Matrix, and then at the very end he got it. So yeah, I think he's always just been insane. So
I feel like Yeski, you may have a better remembrance on this, but am I wrong in remembering that Internet Hulk actually scouted him for like Team Liquid way back?
Yeah. He was the one that kind of got him in there. And then it, like, if you recall, like, we were like, what the fuck, Fury on this
stuff? Yeah, random.
Like, we were still convinced, like, Hu Yao was like the best off tank in the world coming off the season 4 victory. Also just was lights out during that time. I think, like, yeah, he would play, was playing against Void in the final, right? No.
It's GC Busan. No, it was Runaway.
Runaway. Sorry. Yeah.
But he
played, I think, in semis, maybe? Against KDP. Yeah. When was KDP?
It wasn't Fury then.
No.
Fury was playing Void. On fucking Rhinos Gaming Titans. Oh, Void, but you're right.
Hu Yao against Void, right?
Yes.
But yeah, like the fact that this kid took over, and then I think like season two is just like, especially first half of season two, he just reads souls, dude. He just snatches souls from Zarius. And then I think like where his career sort of took a wrong turn is like the Justice move, and I'm not really sure why.
Yeah, that's right.
Why he opted there. To be fair, there was like some decent potential on that team, but yeah, that's a rough one to be part of.
And he goes to Philly and still is pretty good.
Yeah, I agree.
Solid.
Yeah, he did his job at the end.
Yep.
I think was kind of how he finished. Like he did played the off tank heroes, didn't do too much else. But yeah, that Justice team was awful.
Such a bizarre team, man.
Yeah. So.
Punk, you're number two.
Number two is Fury, so we'll just
very good.
Battle that off. Yep, he's in there.
Yeah. What a serendipitous number. Yiska, number two for you.
Well, you already know it's Void.
Okay, yeah, all right. I think we're all locked in at number one then. there's a very distinct name missing from all of our lists. I'll go ahead and just reveal. I'm pretty sure it's everybody saying Hanbin. Survey says.
Unequivocally.
Unironically, you want to talk about do-it-yourself kind of motherfucker. I've never seen anybody do what he did on Junker Queen. I don't think on any kind of tank hero other than maybe like Fearless, who obviously he shared a team with. So like, goddamn.
Dude, even before Junker Queen, like I remember when he was on Element Mystic. That Element Mystic team was fucked.
Disgusting.
Like, yeah.
He was insane at Sigma. Like he was so, so good. His diva was crazy, I think, in the first Dallas season or the Paris. Like he Paris has season. Been good at everything, like hard carry on Sigma, hard carry on Zarya, like fucking insane diva, can do it all. So he is by far and away probably the best off tank ever. I don't know,
and it's like as somebody who's like played it, studied it, and also, like, played against it, like, felt it, right? Is it close? Is that, like, number one to number two spot even close? Because I feel like it's so clearly Hanbin.
It's
not
very,
really up for debate.
Very clear, like...
Yeah.
It's... I remember everyone... Because his sensitivity on Zarya is, like, fucking 1-800 or something. Like, it is so slow. And during the time where Dallas was so good at the Zarya Reaper or the Genji Zarya, whatever it was... He, like, they were so good at that comp, and he was, like, instrumental to that because he was just the guardian and the bubble timings were just perfect. Like every time he'd just stand there and hold it. He had the iron will to just hold his bubble.
Mm-hmm.
He would never like try and get energy, carry or whatever. It was just perfect on his DPS every time. And he wasn't like flicking around, like killing everyone, like just being him. You know, he would just slowly work it up, and it was such a structured way of carrying. Like, it was not that he popped off or anything. He was just, he had the method, and he did it every time. And on Zarya was just insane. I think his best Sigma was probably on Element Mystic, or maybe early on in the Paris, in that Paris roster. So, I don't know. He's by far and away, you could feel it, like, he was consistent as well as probably the most consistent person on this list and probably the best. So
easily.
Yeah. Like,
it's hard to beat.
Virtually the only slide you could have against him is that he only got into the league in season 3, right? Like, that's like the argument. Like, he's not been around as long as like someone like Void or I mean, Fury quit earlier.
I mean, I think that is something you could leverage against him, but it's like the peaks, the performance itself is just so transformatively different that like any kind of longevity, like if somebody was going to kind of like combat him and debate him, like they would have showed up by now. Like, we've had 7-6 years of this, like 3 years in, and this motherfucker's still on top. Like, that's unheard of.
There's also something to be said about like how players talk about a guy, you know?
Sure.
It's like
sure.
Sometimes people talk about strategies. And it's like, oh yeah, playing into Zarya is like tricky here, but you can do X, Y, and Z. And then when they talk about Hanbin, it's like against Hanbin, you have to do X, Y, and Z. It's like Zarya 1.5, okay? Like your theory is now useless. Mm-hmm. This guy does it differently than the second best guy. You need a new plan in order to make this work, right? And, I mean, it's just the star-studdedness of, like, him playing alongside Fearless is also, that's just...
Like, come on, that's so...
Best
that's not
tank
unfair. That's unfair.
Of all time.
Yeah.
Like, we had Fearless on main tank number one. I think both of us had, right? Like, Joe?
You? I don't remember, to be honest.
I had Fearless at number one.
I don't think I had Fearless 1.
I had Smurf.
Yeah, I had Smurf. It was more of like a safety thing. But yeah, Fearless is like easily the best Winston player of all time. Like if you can guarantee me a season of like Winston meta and you put me in the GM seat, yeah, give me Fearless. I will literally sell my right and left kidney. I will permanently go on dialysis. Give me Fearless every day of the week.
Yeah.
But
It also shows like before Overwatch League and before the obviously Dallas was the best team and they were all of them were insane and you know they won. He did it on Element Mystic again, an insane team. But the reason why they were insane is because of him. Like he is the one that kind of made it happen. And I mean Dallas recently in 2023 they shit the bed. But you know what? You know it doesn't count when you go from Fielder to MCD and like it's just you know that's too big a jump and you know so if you gave him what he needs which is someone to just permanently heal him then he'll just win. So
I think one thing we also have to point out here about Hanbin is like this dude just like commands how the team has to play. Like his game conception and his ability to vocalize that, like everything that I've heard from Rush to Tasmo and whatnot, like he's just like the drill sergeant and the guy that comes up with the strategy, the architect of those strategies, and he's able to execute it to an unprecedented level, right? And it is also because of him that they can force matters into positions where, like, they didn't have like a dedicated
they created the metas.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
They were able to find new stuff, and it was only Dallas who could do it. And it was, I remember the year before when they won, it was like, well, what are Dallas playing? And everyone would just turn to that. And it was for good reason, because they'd figure it out. They'd make a system of bubble, you know, all the intricacies of like Bubble Ripper, Bubble Genji, and, or like the Moira monkey or stuff like that. And they would just create those, and they would do it best. Like, there was no one else really for the first month or couple weeks that would even come close to them. They just had such a, like, they were the hive mind team. And yeah, it's because he was just shouting at people and commanding them all to do what he wants. And if you all have people doing the same thing in Overwatch, you're going to do a better job at winning. So
100%. So the secret code. And funnily enough, it's pretty hard to do that when everybody fucking hates each other. So
yeah,
riddle me that. Hey guys, crazy concept. I think the top five, like, A, makes a lot of sense across the board, and B, like, a lot of very similar names, differing spots. There's so many, like, those are kind of like the pillar, like the figureheads rather, of, you know, flex tanks across Overwatch League history. I was confident that, like, everybody was going to be somewhere in the ballpark of each other there. Any oddities there, Punk, that you're kind of surprised by other than Krong? I will take Krong, and I will take that L. Yeah, I think there, I could have found a better name for sure.
I think Mecha. I was surprised by Mecha. Mecha.
Okay. Yeah.
He had a, it wasn't just the Outlaws season. It was like the one before that as well. He wasn't the best.
Fair.
And I think people kind of think of him, but I'm so glad we don't have Zumba on here or anything like that.
No. I feel like even in, like, as the Overwatch League started, I feel like Zumba was already like on a downswing. And like, yeah, like, I like Lunatic High like the rest of everybody else. Like, it was a fun time to like be an Overwatch fan, but like, let's like be real, Zumba like kind of was mid at for like Apex season 2.
Yeah,
like he wasn't.
But no, I think it was pretty standard list, and I can see that you guys are favoring the,
we're old. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. You're favoring the longevity, which makes sense for top 10 all time. So
I do think there's a lot to like be said when it, like, I don't think we necessarily give a ton of time for Cluj. So if you wanted to kind of talk about, you know, why Cluj was up there, if any, you have any kind of like anecdotes there.
Probably just playing like against him. I think it's not like a kind of, obviously Sigma's really, really good. So you kind of watch that to get better or something. But even in ranked before, like, he's just someone who's, if you can, you know, it's hard to play against him. And I've always compared myself to the Western tanks, just naturally, because I am one. So I'd always compare myself to Space or Hawk or Kluge. And so I think highly of those guys, because it also pushes me to, or it pushed me to get better. And so I think that was probably why I've got those guys higher up as well.
How come that, okay, this is a weird question, but like, how come that so many Western players are so competitive? Because like, I don't think we have had other lists where you could feasibly have like three or four Western names in your top 10. Is there anything about off tank that you think facilitates that possibility?
You mean why there are so many Western off tanks?
Western good off tanks, right? Like,
yeah, because I don't know.
I'm telling you, there, like, is. I don't have a flex DPS in the top 20. Yeah, that's Western, right? I probably wouldn't have. Flex support. I had Crimson at 10 or something. Even though, like, you could definitely debate if that's true. Main support. There are a couple of more names you could bring up with Moth and whatnot. Main tank, maybe, but like, if I feel like, if the Western players had like a role to compete in, feels like it's flex tank.
I don't know. I think it kind of started out like you had to do lots of things, and like D.Va, so you had to go back and help, or you had to go and kill. And so I think the Koreans just kind of didn't work that way. They weren't coached that way of like adapting or changing what you're doing or thinking on the fly. They're, in my experience, very you know, this is what you should do every time kind of sort of thing. I don't know if that plays a part into like early on why, but some of the Korean guys are just good at one thing because, you know, Hawk Kaluj, myself, and even Space a little bit, we're all pretty flexible, and that's why we've stuck around as well. And I think a lot of the Koreans just aren't, I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's definitely an anomaly, and I'm sure there's some crazy reason that probably no one will be able to figure out any time soon, but you know, it's just, it's something that's happened.
I think also one thing that sort of was a problem for a lot of Western main tanks is that Winston was so good for such a long time in Overwatch, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Realistically, who's like the best Western Winston? It's probably Super.
Yeah, Super, and then like Jakaru or something.
Yeah, or like pretty... Mickey, or I have no idea. Like, it really goes down a slope. Maybe Reiner?
Mikey,
yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple guys. I don't know. It kind of comes back to that thing where it's like, well, why is EU so good at Reiner? And
yeah.
Maybe there's something at the very start of Overwatch where people just of different backgrounds favored Ryan and Winston and off tanks, I guess. So it's strange, but yeah, there's no other category. Again, like, even I think throughout history there's been obviously some outliers and some good hit scans from NA, but like at some points in Overwatch League's history, there was just no, like, none. There was one, maybe like KSP, and then that's it. Yep. So,
yeah, I think like weird. The hypotheses. Like, the thing is, like, what really stands out to me, like, the gap between, let's say, for me, it would be Hawk, right? Like, the gap between Hanbin and Hawk is significant in over like a Korea, seen as a Korea, but like the difference between, like, we haven't done the flex DPS list, but the best flex DPS and the best Western flex DPS is like they're playing different games most of the time, and you could argue it's maybe even Sugar Free, you know, like, as like historically,
I would argue that,
right? But Sugar Free, in terms of our list, it's troublesome because he came into the league so late, right? But in general, like, if you actually think like Overwatch as an esport, you probably have to say Sugar Free, right? In terms of Western,
he's insane.
Flex Goat, yeah.
Like, playing with him as well, like, he was so consistent all the time at every character, pretty much. And it was strange because there were some characters where he was like, oh, like, what do I do? Or it was like a Sig Brig meta, and it's like he didn't play in that and kind of had to figure it out, but he'd figure it out so quick, and he became like top three Sombra in the world, and his Tracer was nuts. He could do everything, so he's probably my favorite teammate ever. Yeah, Kevster as well. Kevster is
Okay, here is where my theory crumbles, because I think actually Kevster is much closer than Hawk is to Hanbin.
Well, that's an outlier again. Like, Kevster is Kevster. It's like no one has come and done it like him. I mean, I'd put him and Lenny in the same sort of boat.
Yeah, like, Kevster for sure is the Western GOAT, I think. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
I don't know who else would get there, right?
There's really, yeah. I think a lot of, like,
Super
perennial
maybe,
fans will
but
just
like, he's stuck too
long about Super, yeah.
Nah, it's got to be Kevster, I think.
I would say, skill alone, it's got to be Kevster for sure. But
he was the only one who could come in and, like, shit on other people.
Mm.
Like, at the time when there was no Western good players, and he was shitting on all your favorite Korean players, and it was good to see.
Insane talent, yeah.
Taking fat dumps. I think that'll be the a case study to really look up on as we get farther and farther away from the league is like, how the fuck did Gladiator suck this bad? That is a mystery to me. One that I feel like we're starting to piece together with the Uncoachables podcast and Hunter and everybody talking, sharing some stuff. So it's slowly making a little bit more sense. But that'll forever be a head scratcher. In the presence of time, as we kind of wrap up things, Punk, thank you again for coming on the show. Is there anything you want to say to any of your supporters, family members that may or may not be listening?
Oh, they're definitely listening. they're watching all of it. So that's a given.
Yeah.
Look, in my defense, I think if we do the list and do, like, from the start of your career, the best off tanks of your career period, I think you're probably top 10. Like, for the time that you were in the league, I think that's a totally fair assumption.
Thanks, Cisco.
No, like, just justifying as to why I think...
You just don't want to get bullied, okay?
No, like, also, Mako, I feel like a lot of people in Season 1... Okay, here's a crazy theory, by the way. There were a non-insignificant amount of coaches that told me this team is actually not playing around Jonek, they're playing around Mako.
Really?
Huh.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if that theory makes any sense whatsoever, but Mako was the enabler for Jonek most of the time, and they had to play around, you know, Matrix uptime, and like Mako dictated what Jonek was doing. I'm not sure if that's even remotely true, but that's what I recall from that time. Also, Season 1 notoriously filled with charlatans, so
true.
Which we weeded out eventually. But yeah, like, I think in my mind, because off tank was still a role, Overwatch 1 is pretty significant for this list, right? We played a shitload of games in Season 1 comparatively. We played more games in Season 1 than Season 5 and 6 combined, I think, each team. Like 40 games a season. Regular season. And maybe you don't want to value that higher. It is also an interesting argument in hindsight to think about, like, when was the desire to be good at Overwatch the highest? Maybe there's an approximate of, like, what kind of salaries were paid. I think that's probably peak salaries, probably Season 3 across the league.
I think so.
I think, like, after Season 3, they stopped reporting what the average salary was. So I assume it went down after. I feel like there's something to be said about, like, the global desire to be good at Overwatch, and those people that felt that desire probably peaked in Season 3. But yeah, like, it's definitely a tough choice to evaluate that. And then especially because of the categorization or errors that we talked about of, like, what is an off tank, really?
Yeah.
And then I'm looking forward to no longer having that discussion with Overwatch 2 and, like, everything.
For sure.
Tank. I will say, you know, what is actually crazy about your career is, like, I remember for Season 6 thinking, okay, if there is a tank player, off-tank player, that can make Winston work, it's Hanbin. Because this guy, once again, for the reasons that we outlined. I don't think he transitioned that well into Winston as well as you did, comparatively speaking.
Yeah.
I think, like, you're from the off-tanks, you're probably the biggest surprise, in my mind, how you transitioned to that role. The fact that your Winston comps were your best comps for a while is nuts to me. Like, I think as soon as I saw that Hanbin couldn't cut it with, like, elite Winstons, something clicked in my mind where I went, like, Winston's not like other tank heroes. There's something about having 10,000, 20,000 jumps into a fight that you just got to have experience on, and that the elite are so far ahead on, that you need the experience in order to make this hero work. Like, I think, like, it's the, you know, the elite Winstons in, like, Fearless, Gushue, Smurf, they just have so much experience, and that tier seems to value it very highly. And therefore, it was always an uphill battle for even elite off-tank players like Hanbin to catch up. I think comparatively speaking, like, I don't think anyone, any other off-tank transitioned as well into Winston as you did.
Yeah, I surprised myself, honestly. And I kind of agree with, like, I thought going into it, Hanbin would be insane because Hanbin would flex to it in ranked in Overwatch 1. And I remember, like, thinking when they announced it, I was like, this guy is going to be really good because he was honestly a really good Winston in Overwatch 1. I remember in ranked all the time, he would flex to it when we'd be on the same team or something, and he would just play like a normal Winston player. And then I was surprised again when Overwatch 2 came around and he kind of shit the bed and lost it a bit. It's, I don't know, people predicted that for some players in Overwatch 2. Like, it's just bound to happen. It's going to be different. But you wouldn't think that he was one of them. But Winston is probably my favorite hero to play now. And like, if I log on to play Overwatch, I'd want to play Winston or Doomfist. I don't really want to play the other ones. They might. Sure. I don't want to play the off tanks. So it's something I enjoy and got pretty good at, and like was very proud of that. And
yeah,
was happy and surprised. And I think definitely I think everyone played a role on that team. The Winston comp, but you know, we made it work, and I was very happy with that. So,
and you should be. Bang up season, bang up year.
Yes,
killed it. Thank you again. Is there anything, not to completely circle back to this, but is there anything you wanted to kind of give a shout out to anybody? Any you know, you're streaming, you're doing anything on socials that you want to shout out? Anything to platform?
I'm going to Thailand in a couple weeks. If you see me there,
hell yeah,
say hello.
Shout out to the one Thai fan that we have.
Yeah,
go find Punk. I actually don't know if anybody from Thailand listens, so that would be a little weird. Jessica, anything coming down the pipeline?
I mean, I'm just like getting off my vacation, so I got to take Monday to sort of like get my bearings, look what's happening at that time, then figure it out. Just like what 2024 will look like. And then also like, yeah, I have to think about like other esports as well, right? So looking forward to that. I put my nose in that. Also doing the vacation. Other than that, yeah. Maybe preparing whatever is going on. I think like I want to up interviews this year even more, and be a little bit more regular and be a little bit more product oriented as to like what do people actually enjoy about interviews, right? What really look in like what kind of interviews did well. Of course, like a lot of it is drama and a lot of is getting that information out. I think we're also on a good path in terms of people opening up about their experience. I think going forward, we just will have to figure out what interesting interviewing looks like, but not just interesting, but also responsible stuff, right? Like what is, how do we get the important stories out and also frame them in a way that it's interesting and stuff can get fixed based on that. Unfortunately, every internet community has a tendency to only care about things when they're too late and no longer changeable. Right. Maybe there's a way to increase the alertness or feeling of immediacy that so often lacks. Because like a lot of it, you can see coming from a mile away, but you cannot really express the danger of it. And much of it led to the situation that we're in right now, right?
Sure.
So that's just like my thoughts going into 2024, looking what, you know, Overwatch esports looks like there, and then adding to the portfolio on top.
I think that's a sound argument. I think that's a good way to go about things. 329, thank you again, Punk, for coming in and helping us rank these bad boys down. We will hopefully try to get flex DPS sometime in the future. I will not put a timeline on that because that is going to be a difficult guest to wrangle. So stay tuned. TBD on that.
That's by the way, just real quick, Joe.
Uh-huh.
As good as Western flex DPS apparently are in terms of Kefsta and Sugar Free, as bad as are they about showing up on interviews or any type of content. Just like a soft call out. At some point, I will tell the Kefsta story about how I was turned down for an interview before.
Fair. I think I have. Yeah. Interesting. Yes, that is going to be 329. Thank you again, Punk. We're out of here. We'll see you next week with something. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's something.
Peace.